Welcome back. A three-week break because of me. That's my fault, guys. I've been moving. I've been unpacking. Actually, last week was on Brad.
Oh!
Yeah, you had to go out of town, and you were like, yeah, I'm down for this Wednesday, and this Wednesday came, nothing. Greg DeMarco chewed my ass. Speaking of Greg DeMarco, this show is brought to you by thechairshot.com. Always use your head. You're home for the most... chairshot.com. Just go. So this is our. We've been moving, man. I've been moving. I've been unpacking. This is our first game back. Our first show back in 3 weeks. A lot has happened in college football. A lot has happened in the NFL. We're gonna do some buy, some sells on NFL teams. We're gonna do some buys and sells on some college teams. We're gonna talk some betting, some fantasy. But first, we have a guest this week, Mr. Taylor Griffin. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Not a problem. New to sports, right?
Well, not new to sports. No, I'm just joking. Trying to get into podcasting.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have anybody new to sports on the show. That's for me and Brad only. talk about something we don't know anything about. But
so who's leading the NFL in home runs this year?
Oh, that's the Sacramento Kings, man. Come on now.
Yes.
You know that?
No, they lead the NFL in goals.
LeJohn Brown, NFL MVP.
LeJohn Brames.
LeJohn Brames. Well, we got a lot to talk about, so let's just get into it. Let's start this coming week. Let's make our NFL picks before we get into the meat of the conversation. I'm going to pick five random games. Of course, we always do the Saints, so let's just start with the Saints. Brad, first off, New Orleans Saints, they played Atlanta 2 weeks ago, and as a homer, we always talk good about our teams. I've never in my life seen a team dominate another team, at least not in the past few years, the way the Saints were dominated. They were dominated the offensive line, the defensive line, the secondary, special teams, you name it, the Saints. Atlanta had the Saints number in all phases of the game, and it was a shit show for the Saints. Atlanta ends up beating the Saints, but the Saints come back strong with a big win over Tampa. I think it was 34-17. And we have another division game next week against Carolina. Your thoughts on the Saints the last 3 weeks?
I've always been, as much as we love the Saints, as much as we love to talk about them being inconsistent, it scares the shit out of me. There's times that they look like they're a Super Bowl contender, and there's times that you get the shit beat out of you by Atlanta. And I think that they've got to kind of figure that out. I know they've had some injuries banged up, some guys that are starting to kind of fill into roles on the defensive end. So, but I always, anytime we predict records, we've talked about it, I always take the divisions at 500. Like, I don't ever think we'll sweep a division. I don't ever think we'll beat a division twice. I always think that it's 500. So I'm okay with that. We still got them one more time as well.
On Thanksgiving in Atlanta, and I can guarantee you whatever the spread is, I'm going to bet New Orleans in the spread. New Orleans is going to go in Atlanta looking for some payback. Taylor, we'll start with you, man. The Saints are favored by 10 against Carolina. Carolina is not playing the best of football, but they do have a league MVP candidate on their team in Christian McCaffrey. First off, your thoughts on McCaffrey and what he's doing this year, and then your pick for this game.
Oh, man, McCaffrey, he should be getting more MVP consideration considering that he's carrying that team on offense. I know their backup quarterback doing fairly okay in Cam's absence, and Cam hasn't won a game since, like, last October. So they're getting there. Their defense is still good, and it is a division game. I'm going to take the Saints, but I'm going to give the points. I think it'll be a 3-point, 7-point victory because it's a division game, and I don't ever see – you rarely see blowouts in those games.
No, I agree. I think the Saints will win by 10. I'm not sure. Like Brad said, it's inconsistency when you come to New Orleans. They played almost a perfect game last week, so expect them to be a little off. Brad, so as far as the picks, Taylor and I have Carolina in the 10. What say you?
Same thing. I agree. I don't think they cover the 10. So I'm okay with that. But you know what? At this point, I mean, I know we're picking games, but I'm okay with the Saints and LSU just winning.
I agree.
Agreed.
So we all have Carolina. Let's go to the Chicago and the Giants game. And I chose that game because I just got a text from a buddy who's a huge Bears fan. And he's saying Teddy's name is flying hard around the Bears right now. I don't know if anybody has heard anything. That's the first time I've heard of anything. We'll start with you, Taylor. Teddy Bridgewater, the backup to New Orleans. You know, Drew Brees went down. He came in. What did he win? Six games? I think it was.
5-0, 6-0.
Yeah, so we know in the right system he's a great quarterback. So let me ask you a question. two scenarios here. If you're Teddy, do you want to get paid and do you want to go and start for a team now? Or do you want to sit behind Drew, learn as much as you can, knowing that you'll be successful in this New Orleans-style offense, and play for Coach Payton?
That's a tough question. That's a good question. I mean, Breeze wants to play till he's 45. He's kind of tapered off a little bit, but he's not really fallen off that cliff. So, I mean, it comes down to, do you want to risk sitting behind Breeze for another 5 years? And by the time he leaves, you're in your 30s.
Right.
Or do you want to go somewhere else while you're still young, still got it? Chicago, I think, would be a good landing spot for him. They got a great defense. I mean, you saw him last year, 12-4 with Trubisky. So, I mean, I think Bridgewater would be an upgrade there. I haven't heard anything on him going there. I mean, I've heard him going to maybe Miami and a few other places. The Bears is new to me. So, but if I'm Teddy, me personally, I would say I've been here 2 years. I've learned some things. I've got some valuable playing time. And maybe some of these things I've learned from Sean Payton I could take to my next stop and build on it from there. And I think Chicago would be a great spot for him if he decides to leave.
For the simple fact that I want Joe Burrow to stay in Louisiana, I'm going to agree with you. Teddy, we love you. We appreciate you. But I think you should take your talents up north. Bears are favored by 6. I'm going to take the Giants and the points on this. I just think that offense is horrible. It really is with Trubisky. And I just don't see Chicago, if they win, it's not going to be by 6. Brad, what say you?
I agree as well. You're right. The offense is horrible. The defense is good, but the Giants defense isn't as bad as people are giving, you know, as it looks on paper. I mean, they do a pretty good job of holding for as long as they can, but since Chicago can't move the freaking ball, like I don't see that them able to do anything.
Taylor, what say you? Chicago is 6-point favorite against the Giants.
All great points. Their offense isn't the best in the world, but the Giants' defense isn't world beaters. I think it's going to be a good game, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take Chicago by a touchdown.
There you go. Let's go to let's see here. Let's challenge our brains this evening. New England Patriots, 7-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, this Dallas Cowboys team is another inconsistent team. They'll show up 1 week, and then they'll put up 40 the next. Dak Prescott, NFL, if I believe I read that right. I didn't screenshot it. He leads the NFL in passing yards?
Passing yards, yards per attempt, plays of over 20 yards.
So, Brad, let me ask you, is that Dak Prescott being that good, or is that the system and the talent around him?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I don't quite trust Dak enough, but he's at times shown that he can be a good quarterback.
Right.
So it's very hard to take that in a full picture. They're running the offense. They're giving him good throws, and Amari Cooper out there being able to run the routes really helps him. Gallup has stepped up. Witten does what Witten did for years, saves him in third down situations, you know, short passes, keeps him out of trouble. You know, it's a system thing. And kind of going back when y'all talked about Teddy Bridgewater, you know, Teddy Bridgewater looked great in our system. But is, you know, Nagy going to change the system to fit Trubisky? I mean, to fit Bridgewater? Probably not.
Right.
And so he would go there and fail like most rookie quarterbacks do if you don't change the system. So I like Dak. I think he's a little bit overrated for me. But, I mean, he's a game manager.
This is going to be one of the very few tests for the Patriots this year. I want to say this is their second test, I mean, of a winning team. 7 points is a lot, but, man, when you think about the Patriots can put 45 up almost when they want. Dallas Cowboys, they have a really good defense. I think this game's in New England. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yes, it is in New England. I'm going to take the Patriots in 7 here. I just think this is, you know, as good as the Cowboys played 1 week, it's time to start laughing at them again this week. And it's just consistent. 1 week you'll see Skip Bayless laughing. The next week you'll see the other guy laughing about the Cowboys. And it's just back and forth. I'm going to pick the Patriots in 7. Taylor, what say you? And talk about Dallas if you want, because I think your boy, the guy you think about starting the show with, is a Cowgirls fan.
No, the other guy, he's a Saints fan, so you're the Cowboys fun fan. Banter.
Yeah.
I'm the Cowboys fan. Yeah. I'm trying to put my homerism to the side. I think Dak is turning that corner like a lot of quarterbacks do in the fourth year. Dak's not elite. He's not there yet, not even close to there yet. I do think he's getting into that top 10 range, maybe on the tail end, 9, 10, maybe even 11. The last couple weeks, played phenomenal, if you ask me. He played well enough to beat Minnesota, and once again, bad coaching cost him that game, which is why I'm going to take the Patriots to win, but I'm going to take the Cowboys to cover.
Nice.
It's in Foxborough. And it's going to come down to coaching, and 120 times out of 50, I'm going to take Belichick over Garrett all Brad, day, every day. Yeah. So I'm going to take the Pats to cover, the Cowboys cover, but the Pats to pull it out.
Brad?
No, I think the Pats cover, and I'm going to tell you, this is – the Ravens expose the Patriots for what they are. They have a difficult time stopping the run, and if Dak can get on the run, I think he can give them fits. But like you said, I don't know if Garrett is smart enough to figure that out. So I'm going to take the points in the Patriots.
Agreed.
Last two games, all four playoff contenders. Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers. Buy or sell, guys. It's a simple buy or sell before we get into this. Brad, after what you've seen the 49ers do, they were down by, I want to say, 16 or 17 to the Cardinals at one point. They came back and won. But their next stretch, man, in no particular order, it's the Packers, it's the Saints, it's all NFC playoff contention teams. Are you buying and selling San Francisco to this point right now?
I'm buying. I think they are good. And just because they're running a very simple offense, they're not doing anything too flashy, too fancy, and they're just driving the ball downfield. And so I'm buying them right now. But once again, we'll see what they truly got when they come to the meat of that schedule.
Taylor, the 49ers defenses face one quarterback in the top half of the league, Russell Wilson. The second best quarterback they faced was Case Keenum at 18th. This was a tweet. Starting this week, the 49ers will end their season in no particular order. Quarterbacks, Breeze, Rodgers, Jackson, Ryan, and Wilson. You see that stretch coming? All those are playoff teams in the NFC. Possible playoff teams. 49ers, are they going 3-3 in the back half of this season? Are they even going to hit 500?
I think they can maintain 500. You know, playing the quarterbacks they have, Russell Wilson's on a whole different level. That guy should be the MVP this year. I know Lamar Jackson's getting a lot of love, but for me, it's Russ. I mean, for what he has to deal with up there and the things he's doing, I think San Francisco can go 3-3 for, like you said, you know, the Saints are good, and I think that game's in New Orleans, so I would pick the Saints to win it, but with the inconsistency, so, I mean, that's one they might be able to steal. I think they can go 3-3. I don't see them going 6-0. That's for dang sure. And you're going up against the Packers this week. I think they can still win against the Packers, especially on the road. We saw how the Packers played last year.
I think the 49ers at home?
Yes, they are at home.
Okay, so they're hosting the Green Bay Packers. So, Tara, let's get your pick. They're favored by 3. So, pretty much Vegas is saying this is an even game. You're getting your 3 because you're at home.
Yep. I'm going to take San Francisco because San Francisco, I think, will be able to run the ball on Green Bay. If you can run the ball on Green Bay and run it down their throat, it's hard for them to keep up. We've seen that multiple times this year, you know. So, I'm going to take San Francisco in a very close game. I say 3 at most. So San Francisco might cover, but it's not going to be a 7 or 10-point victory.
For selfish reasons, I'm picking Green Bay because I need Aaron Jones to have the game of a lifetime. Because we are in our division playoffs in fantasy, and if Aaron Jones has a great game, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Russell Wilson, you name it, they're on our team, baby. I need Aaron Jones to have 250 rushing and about 6 touchdowns, and we can guarantee ourselves a division championship.
Dude,
look.
Why, just ask for like 25 points, man. Don't ask for
125.
Yeah, right?
The gods don't do that.
The fantasy gods don't take lightly to me talking trash. We've known that. That's history. But, man,
I'm
think this
fantasy. Yeah,
I'm going to have to go Green Bay here. We've seen Green Bay beat good teams. We've seen Green Bay we know what Green Bay can do against really good teams. we don't know what San Francisco can do against really good teams. The one really good team they played, they lost. Granted, they should have won, missed field goal, but all that's in the whole package of you lost. You didn't do what you needed to do to win the game. So until San Francisco can show me that they can beat an NFC playoff caliber team, I'm going to have to go with Green Bay. Brad?
So,
and I'm not saying they're not good. Don't get me wrong. But you got Aaron Rodgers and you got the Packers coming in looking to make a statement against this team.
So I think the Packers do win. I'll put it on there. But part of me hopes the Niners win, because if the Niners win and we win, we now are the second seed in the division playoffs. So that gives us that first round bye.
Another selfish pick.
Another selfish. But I'm taking the Packers. I think the Packers win.
Last game for the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams and the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are favored by 3.5. Brad, we'll start with you. Ravens, Rams.
Oh, man. Ravens, you know what? It's almost a common theme through the NFL so far. Some teams have looked great, and then they hit and miss. But I still like the Ravens, man. I mean, if they keep doing what they're doing with Lamar Jackson, man, I think he shreds the Rams. So yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore.
I think Baltimore is the most complete team in college football in the NFL now.
I don't agree. I don't quite agree. I think if you can keep Lamar from running.
You're not going to do that this year, though. Next year, yes. Next year, he's not going to do what he did this year.
Lamar is like Tua. We've had this conversation. Tua can do it. The players are wide open. No wonder Tua has great numbers. The players are wide open. Anybody can make the throw. Make him make difficult throws, and you'll expose Lamar Jackson. And I'm just a poor boy living in Tennessee. The defensive coordinator's got to know that.
I'm going to choose the Ravens at 3.5. Taylor?
I'm going to take Baltimore, and this is, I guess I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take them to win by double digits. I'm not impressed with Jared Goff this year.
No.
That Ravens offense has been, I mean, I know the Patriots haven't played anybody, but you saw what they did to that defense. Rams defense isn't what it was last year, even 2 years ago. And like I said, not impressed with the Rams offense. So I'm going to take the Ravens to win convincingly.
Well, let's jump into the NFL playoff picture. By the way, if the Saints go to the Super Bowl, I reserved a room 1 year ago, a hotel in Miami, and I have it for 6 nights, and I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to make some money. Just wanted to throw that out there. playoff picture right now. Let's start with the AFC. If the playoffs started this week, the Colts would host the Bills, the Chiefs would host the Texans, and the Patriots and Ravens would get a bye. These are the teams statistically still in the hunt. Top three are Raiders, Steelers, and Titans. After that, the Browns, Jags, Chargers, Broncos, Jets, and Dolphins. Moving to the NFC, playoffs started this week. The Cowboys would host the Seahawks. The Saints would host the Vikings. The 49ers would have the first. The Packers would have the second. Teams statistically still in it. Rams, Eagles, Panthers, Bears, Lions, Cardinals. I'm going to stop there because the Redskins are even still statistically in the playoff hunt, and they're 1-9. So I don't think we're gonna get that far. Taylor, real quick, we'll start with you before we jump to college. Any surprises here in the playoffs? You look at Colts and Bills, Texans, Chiefs. Should
Colts,
be where
Bills,
it is.
Texans. The Colts. Number one, the Colts. Andrew Luck retires, and they're still sitting there with the 3 seed.
4 seed.
Who saw that
6-4.
4 seed. Either way, who saw that coming?
Right.
When Andrew Luck retired, I think everybody wrote the Colts off. That's good coaching. That's good depth, if you ask me. And I think Brissett's a little underrated. People underestimated him.
Brad, anything on the playoffs?
At the beginning of the season, like I would say the Ravens, but after everything that the Steelers have gone through, it's not hard to project. I mean, I thought the Browns would be a little bit better. You know, I mean, I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I've said that many times. But even with the talent around, golly, I mean, I could throw the ball up. I mean, we've seen Odell and Jarvis make plays. Just throw the fucking ball up within 30 yards of them. They'll make the play.
It's not
that easy.
He let me
live in doing that.
Yeah. Well, let's move.
He's too busy making commercials.
Well, he better do something quick or he's going to be cutting grass. Like the commercials for the next few years. Let me find. All right, here we go. Let's move to college football. Where do we want to start? The new playoff rankings came out yesterday. I'm pulling it up right now.
Let's just start at one and just end there.
No, I agree, 100%.
Yeah, right, LSU, that's all that matters. Right?
LSU number one, Ohio State number two, Clemson number three, Georgia four. Let's go to the top 10. 5, Alabama, 6, Oregon. which I believe they switched from last week to this week.
No, they stayed the same.
That's right. Alabama was always 5. Utah at 7, Penn State at 8, Oklahoma at 9, Minnesota at 10. LSU wins 2 more games. Arkansas, A&M, they're going to – they win this week against Arkansas. They're in. It's LSU, Georgia, and the SEC championship. Ohio State still has Penn State and Michigan. Clemson has nobody and nobody community college. Georgia's already in the SEC, but at this point, because of the playoff rankings, you can't lose. You can't sit starters. You can't rest starters. You can't lose. You have to win every week. So, all right, Brad, let's start here. LSU goes to the SEC championship, and they lose to Georgia. 46-45. Is LSU still in this? Ohio State's undefeated. Clemson's undefeated. Oregon has one loss. Alabama has one loss. Utah has one loss. Penn State has lost. Does LSU go from 1-4 if they lose to Georgia?
You know, I still see them over Alabama regardless because we beat Alabama. We made it to the championship game. Could Oregon leapfrog us? Could somebody else, Oklahoma, somebody end up like that leapfrogging us? Maybe. But it would be tough. It would be tough to say no to that because there's so many one-loss teams. I'm sitting here looking at it, and there's 8 one-loss teams in the top 13. So, you know, how do you pick if Oklahoma wins their conference as a one-loss team? How do you take them, not take them over LSU?
Well, that's a big deal,
that would
too.
Be the, or even Oregon. Oregon, a one-loss team, they win their conference. How do you not take Oregon?
Well, because the Pac-10 is going to get no love at all. Not over a one-loss SEC team. It's just,
I mean, this is what this is what we've talked about a lot. Like I asked for this a couple years ago, to where they have to redo this to at least 6, you know, at minimum 6. But I don't know if you can do that.
Taylor, LSU beats Georgia. Georgia falls out. Everybody wins out. Alabama is now sitting there at 5. Oregon has won the Pac-10. Or Pac-12.
Pac-12.
Georgia goes from 4-7, so they're out the picture. They have 2 losses. Are you leapfrogging a one-loss Alabama to the SEC champions for a Pac-12 one-loss champion? Are you putting Oregon in at that 4 spot?
I am, and to put my Bama hatred on the side, Mac may be a good quarterback, but he's not Tua. And I don't see how the committee could justify Alabama being unequivocally one of the 4 best teams in college football without their star quarterback. So in that scenario, I would see Oregon leapfrogging over Alabama, and that's if they don't do it after the Auburn game, because I think Auburn has a far better chance of beating Alabama now without Tua.
So let's talk about that. Tua turned the ball over, got hurt. It wasn't an ankle injury. It was a hip injury, same as Bo Jackson's career injury, very similar. Successful surgery. Brad, we'll start with you, man. Everyone's saying that Tua always talks Saban into keeping him in as long as possible. You and I played football. We all played sports. We know at the end of the day, it's the coach's decision to make the right decision, not only to win, but for the player. My opinion, Tua should have never been dressed for this game. He wasn't healthy going into Alabama. He sure as hell wasn't healthy coming into this game. This is what I think. I think Saban wanted to impress the committee. Blow out Mississippi State by 50 points at all cost. Well, now that cost may have just cost you a playoff spot. Should Tua have even been dressed for this game?
So it all depends. I mean, you're right. I mean, so if you dress Tua, it's a risk. You dress Tua, you beat him by 50, impress the committee. You sit him, you put Mac Jones, you beat him by 5. It's still a lose-lose situation for Alabama in that spot. Once Alabama lost to LSU, it became a lose-lose situation for them because their weak schedule, they had nothing to fall back on, and they have to do drastic things to get that to get the attention, to get the votes back. I mean, LSU exposed Alabama for what they were. For me, LSU let Alabama back in that game. Like, that's their fault. They gave the Alabama hope of the committee of the voters. If they would have stayed with their foot on the throttle, that would have probably been a 44-20 game. Alabama wouldn't even be anywhere near a conversation right now. So Saban had to save, because once again, these coaches, this is their job. This is their livelihood. He had to do what he had to do to keep himself in contention for the playoffs. They were in a lose-lose situation regardless.
Now, Taylor, it's funny he said that because I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think Saban even cared? I mean, let's pretend that in a world of varsity blues that Nick Saban had could give two shits about Tua's health. The only thing on Saban's mind was we need to win. We need to win big. We need to get in the playoffs. What say you about this scenario?
I think he wanted to make a statement, and he wanted to let Tua play. I mean, to be fair to Saban, as much as I don't want to, that kind of injury, that's a freak injury.
Right.
But I agree with his ankle. I personally wouldn't address him because y'all should be able to beat Mississippi State, let Tua rest, play Mississippi State, beat North Chattanooga High School the next week, and then go into that Auburn game ready to go. But, I mean, it's a risk you take. You know, my thing is he says Tua talked him back into going, but it's Saban's job to protect the players. And if Saban could have easily said no, and I get the whole two-minute thing, but for me, I wouldn't address him. And, you know, it is what it is now. So now they better hope that Mac can save their season because I think they're done playoff-wise.
Yeah, I look, this question is for both of you. If Alabama ends up winning against Auburn 23-20, is the committee at all impressed? Or for Alabama to still even be in this conversation without Tua, does it have to be a 45-7 game against Auburn?
I think so. I think they have to do it. Now, let's not forget that there was a Jalen Hurts injury and some kid named Tua came in and everybody kind of wrote Alabama off at that time. And what happened?
Right.
Tua took over.
Is this,
so let's not
is this
write
your
off
rebuttal
Mac.
To the people slamming your Mac Jones comment on Facebook?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, that's fine. Saban, the one thing I love Saban, but I hate Alabama. The one thing Saban does, and Ricky, you know it from LSU, they will be ready. The yes. next guy up will be ready. I'll never forget the first time I really paid attention to Saban is when Jalen Hurts was a freshman. I think he was the backup quarterback for a little bit. And he threw a bad pass in the fourth quarter up by 40 points, and Saban wore his ass out. That's why Saban and Alabama will be fine with Mac because of that reason right there. That kid's ready to go.
Well, I mean, Mac came in. He played against Arkansas, had a good game. But are we really impressed having a good game against Arkansas? I mean, they're a dumpster fire. Let's be fair.
They're about to get LSU fits, though.
No, they always do. Yeah. But I don't see it this year. Offense is too good. Years past, it was, you know, run left, run right, run up the middle, punt.
No shit.
If I can stroke the LSU ego, you're talking about saving and having the next guy ready. Y'all remember a guy named Matt Mock who came in for Rohan Davey and upset the number two team in the country?
Yep.
So again, I agree coach, with you there. Coach he's, with he's Saban. He's going to have Mac ready to go, but I don't. With Tua, I think they beat Auburn by 20-plus. Even though Auburn's got a great defense, I just don't think with Bo Nix they'd be able to hang. With Mac, I think it's a little closer, and Auburn has a better chance to win. So we'll have to see when we get there.
So let me ask you this. What does Alabama have to do this weekend? I'll ask both of you. I'll ask the questions, Rick.
Okay.
What does Alabama have to do to get the respect from the committee back? What does that game have to look like?
Their final two games, they have to win by at least 40.
And Auburn, what is the Auburn game? Because Auburn's the dictating game, let's be honest. What does that game have to look like?
It's got to be a 40-point difference, and it's got to be dominating.
I won't say 40 because it isn't Jordan-Hare. I think if they could get to 42 and hold Auburn to around 14, highly unlikely because Alabama's defense, we saw how – you know, LSU just walked through them like a hot knife through butter. So, I think they maybe not 40, but at least 30. And they got to do it, you know, convincingly. It can't be one of those, an injury happens, Alabama pulls away late or anything like that. They got to dominate start to finish.
So, my thing is, this is what I think. I think it has to look exactly the way it did before Tua went out. You know, it can be, we know Auburn may be a close game. But if it doesn't look like they missed a beat with Tua being gone, I think that helps them out a lot.
But do you think they will?
Dude, I don't bet on Saban, man. I don't bet on him. I don't bet against him.
You have to think, though, Auburn, if there was ever a mindset in college football for any team to go in and just fucking destroy somebody, it's Auburn against Alabama this year.
But, you know, the same thing. Like, I guarantee you, they saw the blueprint of how LSU kept Tua in check. They don't know anything about Mac, you know? So what is you as a defensive coordinator, what does your game plan look like? You know that LSU exposed the weakness of Tua. We don't know the weakness of Mac right now.
Let me ask y'all a question. If Gus doesn't beat Alabama, a two-less Alabama, is he done in Auburn? He's 1-9. He's 1-9 against Alabama and Georgia in his career.
No, he's wasn't he the head coach the year they won back to back against Alabama and Georgia?
I don't know. I saw on Twitter he was 1-9 in his career.
That's not good. If he loses, I mean, they're already calling for his head. I could see him tucking tail and maybe running to Arkansas because they tried to get him 2 years ago when they hired Chad Morris. And so, I mean, I could see him tucking tail and running over there. So,
yeah, but, you know, let's be honest. Auburn is not a Georgia. It's not an Alabama. It's not an LSU. I mean, they're meant to just compete, you know, because you got to run the state of Alabama. If you're gonna do well with recruiting, and Saban has that on lock, LSU dips in every now and then Auburn just catches the remnants is all it is. So I don't think.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, they're in a tough division, you know, in the West. I mean, you know, it's brutal. I mean, so I don't think you gotta give the guy. I mean, how long do we freaking give Les Miles before we finally chopped his head off? You know. To me, Gus is doing the same thing. Keeps you in contention every year. Just enough with the carrot. Dangles the carrot. I still think he has a couple years left.
Depends on the buyout, mostly. And kind of, you know, it's kind of where we were with Les Miles. We didn't buy him out 1 year because we didn't have really a lot of candidates and didn't want to spend that kind of money. Then the next year, they had no choice after that Auburn debacle and the 150th clock management mistake of his career at LSU. I'm with you there, though, Gus. He keeps them in contention. And what I was going to say is Auburn's in a tough spot geographically because they're in the state of Alabama, so they got to compete with the Crimson Tide. And then they're right on the Georgia line, so they got to compete with Georgia. And then Florida to the south, good luck with that. So, I mean, I agree with, you know, it's tough recruiting in that area where they are.
So he's been there 7 years. He lost in the BCS championship game in 2013. So he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's 2-4 in bowl games.
That's not good.
So
Auburn has a little bit of higher standard than.
Yeah, I mean, 12-2, 8-5, 7-6, 8-5, 10-4, 8-5, 7-3. They'll probably end up what 7-3.
If they lose Alabama, it'll be their third loss.
So they'll end up probably 7-3 again.
Yeah, I don't see him.
He's getting close.
All right, so I just want to recap. Taylor, you can listen to this if you'd like, please. Before the season, Brad, myself, and Jim did our four conference champions and in our playoff four with our national champion. SEC, Brad and I had LSU winning. Jim had Alabama. That's another L for Jim. The ACC, we Clemson across the board. It looks like that's going to happen. The Big Ten, Ohio State for Brad and myself, Michigan for Jim. That's another L for Jim this year.
I don't trust Harbaugh.
Big 12, Oklahoma across the board, and Pac-12, Oregon across the board. So, Brad, it looks like you and I are going to go 100% on conference winners this year if everything continues to go the way it is. Playoff four, Clemson number one across the board. We're all going to be wrong there, but Clemson will be in the playoffs. Number two seed, Brad and I had LSU. Jim had Oklahoma. Three seed, Brad and I had Oklahoma. Jim had Alabama. In the four seed, Brad had Ohio State. I had Georgia. Jim had Georgia. So it looks like three of the four are going to be correct for Brad and I. And national champs, we chose LSU and Jim chose Clemson. So either one of those could still happen. Next week, though, is when we're going to make our one change in the NFL as far as AFC, NFC East. And conference winners. Just remember you chose Cleveland to win the AFC North, Brad. Just want to throw that out there.
Who did you have?
I'm going to show
you. Don't you dare say the freaking Ravens because you're full of shit.
AFC Conference. What's that middle top one say?
Yeah.
He's got Baltimore.
Hey, so, but let me.
And if you think I changed it, go back and listen to episode one because it's out there.
So here's the thing. Only one person has access to that iPad. Can you guess who the person is that picked Baltimore?
Go back in your text message and look at Taylor, I did this on purpose. The moment I did this, I sent it to him and Jim. I can't change what you got on your text message 4 months ago.
Dude, you know how many times we text? You want me to go back and look through that?
Listen to the episode. Episode number uno of this year. It's on there. It's out in the Twitterverse, my brother. Let's go to the college football games this week. Let's start with Penn State, Ohio State. Number 2, Ohio State is favored by 19 against number 9, Penn State. Taylor, are you smelling an upset here?
Are we in Columbus or are we in Happy Valley?
We're in Columbus.
I am not smelling an upset. Ohio State's, as much as I hate Ohio State, their defense doesn't get the credit it deserves. You know, Minnesota was able to knock off Penn State, and that was on the road. And right. I know this is going to be a big rivalry, but the way Ohio State's playing, I can't see an upset, but I have been wrong before. I mean, so I'm going to take Ohio State.
You're going to take the 19?
I'm not going to take the 19. I think they win by 14.
When your hardest game is Kentucky State Community College, your defense better be fucking good. That's all I got to say. I'm with Brad. As much as I would love to choose Penn State to win, because that would just shake the playoff picture up completely, and it would shut about half the internet up, because I am so tired of hearing from Ohio State fans. I got to choose Ohio State, but I'm with you. I'm not taking the 19. I'm going to take Penn State in the points. I do think it's a 14-15 game. Brad, what say you?
I say the same thing. I think I'm going to take Penn State in the points. And I'm not surprised if Penn State upsets them.
Yes.
Penn State's only got, what, one loss? I mean, they're still in this.
Well, then let's ask this then. Penn State's ranked what?
Nine.
Eight. Somewhere near.
I'll pull it up right here. Penn State.
Yeah, eight. All
right, so they're ranked eight.
In front of Minnesota.
So Penn State, one loss Penn State, upsets Ohio State, and they win the Big Ten. I mean, are we talking Penn State here over Oregon? Okay, let me ask you another question.
No, I would say yes if Penn State wins out, because Oregon hasn't played a ranked. We just beat the number 2 team.
Well, then let me ask you this. If Penn State wins, they'll go from 8 to, let's just say, best case scenario, they'll go to 4.
Yeah.
Ohio State will go from 2 to 5.
Yeah, that would shift Alabama out too.
Yes, it would. And now let's just say out of that, Ohio State ends up winning the conference.
I mean, that would mean Penn State has to lose another one, right?
They don't have a conference game, do they?
They do. But they're in the same. They're in the Big Ten East.
Okay.
Yeah, Is there any scenario
that Penn State beats Ohio State and Ohio State gets in?
Penn State would have to lose again.
They would have to lose their final game.
Yeah.
And who's their final game?
I don't know. But, okay, Penn State beats Ohio State.
Rutgers. Well, Rutgers.
Yeah, no, if they beat Ohio State, they're in.
Okay, Penn State beats Ohio State, but loses in the conference game.
Which would be to probably Minnesota.
And Minnesota's ranked 10th. So now and Minnesota has one loss.
And I think that's possible. I think Penn State can beat Minnesota again. So now you'd have two top 10 wins. Which I think would catapult them over Alabama.
Well, Alabama, if Penn State beats Ohio State, I think we can all agree Alabama is out of the picture, 100%.
And I would agree Ohio State's out of the picture too. I don't think Ohio State can get back in unless Penn State loses two games.
Oh, God, I really hope for an upset. I really hope for an upset.
It's going to cause chaos.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's go to Texas and Baylor. Texas 19th, Baylor 13th. It looked like it was going to get shook up last week when Baylor was going to remain undefeated. Up 28-3, Falcons, you remember that? You should. And then Oklahoma just comes back and wins the game. Baylor's favored by 5.5 against Texas. Brad, we'll start with you.
Oh, man. You know, Texas, they're not the team that LSU played at the beginning of the year. And it's very disappointing, because that looked like a huge win for us at the beginning of the year. But I'm going to take Baylor. I'm going to take Baylor to cover.
I agree. I'm going to take Baylor to cover as well, just because they're trying to get as far up as possible to get a good bowl game. And they know to do that, they have to beat Texas. And I think they're still in the Big 12 conference picture here. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if they beat Texas, they should be able to get – they'll be back in the title game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because they don't have, like, a two divisions like everybody else. They just take the top two teams. Top two teams.
Taylor, what say you? 5.5 Baylor against Texas.
I'm going to take Baylor. Texas is far too inconsistent right now. You know, they beat a ranked team, and they turn around and lose to Iowa State.
Yep.
It's just far too inconsistent for me. I don't like Texas right now, and it's sad because that was one of LSU's signature wins, and it's looking not so good now. But I'm going to take Baylor to easily cover, and I wouldn't be surprised if this game, late in the game, if Baylor pulled away by a touchdown or two.
I'm gonna blame LSU for that. I think LSU put that ass spanking on them so hard, it just fucked their whole season up.
Put it on tape. Everybody started trying to copy LSU.
Exactly. Notre Dame, 16th ranked Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not even in the picture anymore, but they are favored by 19 against Boston College. Taylor, we'll start with you.
Notre Dame should win that. Didn't Boston College just get annihilated by Clemson? And I know Notre Dame isn't Clemson.
That was Wake Forest.
That was
talking
Wake Forest
because
somebody said,
"Oh,
take the
I can't edit, Brad." So let's not bring up old memories.
I'd take Notre Dame to win that.
I did call for an upset, not so much an upset, but I did call for Wake
Forest.
Dude,
you said they would cover. You go.
I said they would. It was 40 points, dude. I mean, come on. Clemson barely beat North Carolina, so.
I'm gonna be honest. Haven't really watched a lot of Boston College. The one game I did was Clemson, and I wasn't impressed. 19 points. Not impressed with Notre Dame either. So I'll take Notre Dame to win, but I think Boston will cover.
I'm going to take Notre Dame in the 19 just to go opposite.
Yeah, I agree. I think the same thing. Notre Dame is still playing for a good bowl game as well. So let's not be crazy. So,
and let's finish with the number one team in the land, the Louisiana State University Tigers. LSU is favored 43.5 against Arkansas. That is a lot of points against the garbage team. Look, I'm taking Arkansas in the points. I'm just going to tell you. Until LSU can hold a team. Look, LSU has and somebody said this. Has LSU really blown anyone out this year? And I was like, fuck you. And then I looked at the scores. I was like, god damn. LSU really hasn't blown anyone out the water this year. Their defense is not what it used to be. And 43 points is a lot against the conference team that's going and looking for an upset. LSU's going to win by 44? I don't know. Taylor?
I don't know if they can win by 44. The way the defense has been playing, for them to win by 44, they're going to have to hang 70, which they could do against Arkansas's defense. But
right.
Arkansas, man, it doesn't matter. Every time we play them, they always give us fits. Last time I remember us blowing Arkansas out was like 15 years ago. So I'm going to take Arkansas on the points because I don't see LSU winning by 44.
Brad?
I have to agree. They just fired the coach. You know, whoever the interim coach is, he's playing for a job. So they're going to go out there and they're going to try to put up everything they got. He's going to rile the troops up.
Yep.
So I'm taking Arkansas on the points. As a matter of fact, I'm about to place that bet right now.
I have a $26 credit, Brad. I just might do that as well.
The over? I don't know what the over is.
Here, I'll tell you real quick. The over-under for that game is 69.
Mm.
So, as Brad likes to do it, which is a good method, 70 points. Can LSU put up 40? And can Arkansas put up 30?
Yes and yes.
Okay, but is Arkansas really going to hang 30? Ole Miss was the third best offense in the SEC behind LSU and Alabama.
Vanderbilt hung 38.
To be fair, two of those touchdowns were on the defense. Pick six for Miles Brennan and a fumble right there at the goal line that they recovered in the end zone.
LSU is only giving up 30 points 4 times.
Stop. You say that like it's a good thing.
Well, I mean, like you said about Vanderbilt, I mean, you can scratch that. We saw what the Texas shootout was, you know.
Yeah.
Alabama was the we had Alabama at 13 at half.
Right.
If it wasn't Texas, I think it's 7 at half.
It was.
If it wasn't for the punt return, punt return, the Stingley looking at the sidelines, and then the big play late where he slipped, that's 21 of the points.
Yep.
Yeah, I was cussing around on that big play at the end. You don't play press man with a minute 30 left up by two scores.
Well, I'll tell you what will happen. LSU, if they get up, I don't see them hanging 70 because I think they'll start to pull everybody, especially with A&M and then in the hunt for the SEC championship.
Well, they win this game, they're locked. But like I said earlier, you can't lose anymore.
No, you can't. But are you going to – after what you just saw what happened with Tua, if you're up by 24, are you really going to leave Burrow in the fourth?
Not in the fourth, no.
No, no. Heisman, man. Heisman, he needs enough.
I think LSU should hang.
I'm gonna be honest.
22 by halftime.
If we're up by 24 in the fourth and he has over 300 yards and four touchdowns, yes, I'm taking him out.
Let's not be crazy. Like we could easily see LSU putting up 35 in the first half, and then scoring maybe two more times, and then you know.
Well, Burrow's not coming out. If I'm head coach, Burrow's staying in at least until the fourth. I need to secure.
No, but what I'm saying is we're talking about the over here. You know, it could easily happen because we could put up 42 by the third.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. They don't. I think he'll be in there through the third or until he'll come out at the beginning of the fourth or until LSU gets at least to 42 or 49.
Yeah. So any.
Oh, shit. That's a night game at LSU, man. That score may be 115-2.
I would love that.
I still can't touch the button. I just can't get my – I can't touch LSU's – man. 44 points is a lot for a conference game.
Something I wanted to mention. Y'all were talking about LSU and Alabama and how we kind of throttled down in the third quarter. I went back and watched that game, and this surprised me. Every drive but one crossed midfield. And the one that didn't got to the 48-yard line. So that was, you know, us stalling out. And one of them was just Burrow was under pressure. He had Chase open, missed him by about a half a yard. So, I mean, that game, you know, we won by five, but it wasn't that close.
Yeah, that's what I said from the beginning. I think we had – it was
– the lines have already changed for most of the football games we've already done. The Patriots is 6.5 instead of 7. The 49ers, were they 3.5 or 3?
3, it was a pick'em.
Okay, it's still 3.
A lot of people betting Dallas, I guess.
Yes, exactly. And the Bears went from 6.5 to 6. Mm. So lines are changing. So, Brad, you need to place your bets now.
Done.
Texans, Colts, 3.5 Texans. Who y'all got?
Texans, Colts, 3.5. We in Houston or Indy?
We are in Houston.
I don't trust Houston's defense enough. I mean, their offense can score with anybody, but, I mean, they did just get annihilated by Baltimore. So, I think Houston will be coming out swinging, trying to prove that last week was an aberration. Not to mention, you know, hopefully they won't be able to tackle Hopkins in the end zone and get away with it. 3.5. That's a toss-up. I'll take Houston just because they're at home.
Right. Seattle is against – who the hell is Seattle playing? I just saw it.
Arizona maybe?
No. Brad, look it up.
Philly.
Philly's a 1.5-point favorite against Seattle.
Where's that game at?
In Philly, but at I still Philly. Don't see it.
I don't either.
I definitely –
Carson Wentz.
I definitely – he's just been – I put my money on Seattle in that game to win outright.
Yeah. All right, Carson Wentz has been too inconsistent for me. I don't know. He's missing a lot of easy throws, and he does make some throws late. But and the way Russ is playing, Lockett should be back. I don't see Philly winning that game, especially with that secondary.
The Ohio State went from 19.5 to 18.5 in the time that we've talked to right now. Ohio State is now 18.5, not 19.5.
People are listening to y'all. That must taking be Ohio it. State in the
and I like Baylor in 5.5, but guys, I don't like it enough to push the button.
You got that much faith in Texas?
No, I just have Jeez, Texas, man. You never know. All right, guys. Anything else? Any final? Taylor, thank you for joining us. Are you on Twitter right now?
I am. TayGriff1987. I'm not very active. I follow it mostly for news and all that, but I can try and be more active if I need to.
Brad?
Should be TayGriff987.
I know you have Twitter, but do you use it?
My Twitter account is I'm no longer on Twitter, at no longer on Twitter. I don't use it much.
Blame busty blondes and busty brunettes for those DMs for Brad getting off Twitter.
Could be worse. Could be Booty Eater 69 or something like that.
That's my second one. So if you've seen that, shoot me
that's
a follow.
Rick's backup account so his wife don't know.
You on Twitter?
That's always
baby?
The
I'm
email
on Twitter,
your
honey.
Friend has when you try and get him a job.
All right, guys. Well, Taylor, thank you for coming on, man. I think you did good. I think your podcast is going to do good. Y'all know what you're talking about, obviously. So any final thoughts for this week?
Nope. Going to be a good game. Should be able to blow out Arkansas. We should be able to. They always play us close. And in the words of Coach O, go Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right, guys. Go Weekly Tigers. Blitz. We'll see you next week.